مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, number 5. The Prophet said to a person who performed hamd and sent salawat after his salah, Make dua, it will be accepted. Ask for, it will be granted. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I want to ask one question from Amir of Al-Sunnah. I am a businessman in a market. In our trade, we do dealings on credit also. It is observed that whenever due date to receive payments arrive and payment is demanded, we get response that because business is down, that's why they are not able to pay us money. Or they come up with the excuse that when they get money, they will pay us. Surprisingly, we hear the news that the same person who was giving us excuses has gone to Umrah. My question is, what is Islamic ruling for such act of these people?
If it is the case where they do actually have the money to pay you back, but even despite this, they lie to you, saying that we don't have money, then obviously they're sinful. And debt should be paid off first, instead of performing Nafl Hajj or Nafl Umrah. The debt that a person has upon himself should be paid off. If it is a case where the lender, the one whom you owe the money to, if he gives you the permission that it's fine, you may perform Nafl Hajj or Nafl Umrah and pay me back after you return, pay me back whenever you get the money, in this case, it is fine. And if this is not the case and the lender keeps demanding for it, and you are also to repay him, now in this case, if you perform Nafl Hajj or Nafl Umrah, this would then only increase the hatred further. Like in the question you mentioned that they do this, and you asked in a very soft and polite manner. But in what tone tradesmen talk in the market? I have an idea of that as well. In fact, I have experience regarding this, that how do they talk about each other? They tarnish the honor of each other. They reveal faults, they slander each other. So nevertheless, such environment should not be created. The debt one owes should be paid off. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
I want to ask from Amir Fahl Sunnah that normally when we hear about someone's death, we recite Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My question is that, is it recited only upon hearing someone's death, or you can recite upon any calamity?
It is recited at the time of any calamity. In our society, we recite it upon the death of someone. Receiving the news of someone's passing is also a calamity. So one may recite it upon any calamity. It is stated in verse number 156 of Surah Baqarah, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Translation of Quran, Kanzul Irfan. Those who, when a calamity befalls them, say, We only belong to Allah. And to him alone we shall return. Once the blessed lamp of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam turned off, upon which he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam recited, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It was asked that is this a calamity as well? To which he replied, Yes. And every such thing that harms a believer, that troubles him, is a calamity for him, and there is reward for him in it. Another hadith states that at the time of Calamity reciting Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un is a means for divine mercy to downpour. Subhanallah. In fact, if it's been quite a while since the calamity befell and you happen to remember it just now. For example, someone snatched your mobile phone away. It would have of course harmed you. You ought to recite Inna Lillahi at that time. And let's say you recall this incident after 1 year saying, I was greatly troubled when someone snatched my phone away. So recite Inna Lillahi now. So the reward you received, back then you will receive it now as well. Whenever anyone would recite Inna Lillahi upon recalling his calamity, he will gain reward over the calamity again which he initially received. This is the mercy of Allah. It's His grace. Calamity is not only when someone passes away. In fact, at times the passing of certain people is not calamity at all. It is getting salvation from a calamity. That's right. Upon the death of Abu Jahl, the Prophet ﷺ performed prostration of gratitude. As the Muslims, the Sahaba attained deliverance from that calamity. There are some tyrant people who are very oppressive and a calamity for people. They even carry out the murder of people. Demise of such a person is better than his life. His demise would lead to the alleviation of this calamity. So demise of such a person is not calamity. So it all depends on the situation. We generally think that we should recite Inna Lillahi upon the death of everyone. It is recited only when a Muslim passes away, not upon the demise of a disbeliever. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Of course, you would have heard different sounds of different animals. You would have heard some animals crying, or would have heard some animals screaming, whereas some talking as well. It is said that when a donkey prays, it's because he sees shaitan. Likewise, it is said that when a dog, a cat, or a horse screams, they do this because they observe an evil. Is this really possible? That when a donkey brays, he sees shaitan, and other animals, when they scream, they see evil. Is this reality or a myth? Let's find out from our Sheikh. Please, Sheikh, is there any reality behind all this? Please guide us.
Regarding a donkey, it is said that it screams and makes noises after seeing shaitan. And when donkey screams out, this very screaming of him is known as braying. So a donkey brays when he sees shaitan. And at that time, one should recite, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And regarding the crowing of a rooster, it is stated in a hadith that it does so by seeing an angel. At that time, one should ask for the mercy of Allah Almighty, that O Allah, shower your mercy upon us. On the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you hear the voice of a rooster, then seek his grace from Allah Almighty. Because the rooster only crows at the time when he sees an angel. And whenever you hear the braying of a donkey, then seek refuge in Allah from Satan the accursed. Because at that time he is seeing Satan, the accursed. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the quote of the Mayor Ahl Sunnah is regarding a post that I came across on social media. It said that do not believe in whatever people say after hearing about something. Because even if the person mentioning it is doing so in accordance to exactly how the event actually occurred, he will do so according to his own nature. What is your opinion on this?
Well, to convey ahead what you just hear has also been condemned in Hadith, where it states that it is enough for a person to be considered a liar, that whatever he hears, he relates it ahead. For example, there's a Hadith. One ought to double check it with the scholars to ensure whether it is a Hadith or not. If it is, then what are the exact words? At times, there's injustice in the translation. It's done as per one's own beliefs, or it is mistranslated due to lack of knowledge in this field, as at times there's one word carrying various meanings. So, what will be the meaning of a particular word appearing in a particular hadith? Only an expert scholar can tell. We cannot translate it. It is out of question for a person to claim that he can translate Quran and hadith because he knows Arabic language. Only he can translate the Quran who has an in-depth grasp on different commentaries of Quran. Only a scholar of such caliber can translate, as in what would be the translation of this word in the light of other commentaries of Quran. He would be a mufassir of highest level. Same applies to the field of hadith. That scholar would be expert in the field of hadith. Only he can translate the hadith. Only he is eligible to define and explain the meaning of a certain word in the context of a certain hadith. That, what would it be? This is not our role. Whatever the scholars have written, we should only forward that ahead. Don't translate it by yourself. So anyhow, rumors that we come across at times lead to such problems that are beyond our imagination. At times a person misunderstands. A person hears, but he misunderstands the conversation or does not understand the gist of the conversation due to one reason or the other. And then, he eventually misunderstands what he heard and ends up relating it ahead as well. The speaker says something else, the listener understands something else, and then relates ahead the gist of the conversation based on his own misunderstanding. Therefore, we should be very careful when we are to relate something ahead. And we need to be careful to a higher degree when it comes to Shari'i rulings, as mentioning an incorrect ruling over here would lead us to be held to account in the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Brother Zahid Attari is asking, what is the name of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi's Sheikh?
Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Makhzoomi rahmatullahi alayhi was the name of his honorable Sheikh.
We have received one question that some people seem to say that they have left their matter upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one hand, they say that they have left their matter upon Allah. On the other hand, they seem to keep on telling their issues and problems to other people. What do you say about such a person who makes such a statement after telling 100 people his problems?
So he's also degrading the other person. Whereas if someone gives an ill supplication, he supplicates against him. In this case now, he cannot seek a revenge. He's handed the matter over to Allah. Now he can't take revenge. But people do all sorts of things. They have no regard. Even after forgiving you, they still hold you to account saying that you did this that day.
Hey, is this example relevant? Say, a person who is not getting justice. He's trying, but he's not getting any justice. He tried all means and knocked all doors to get justice, but he couldn't get. And finally he says, I leave my matter upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By this, he means that, no, it's only Allah who will give me justice and sort my problems out.
That's a separate matter. This should have been said beforehand. He's telling everyone after he's handed the matters over. Like generally people say, upon someone's calamity that observe, patience. And they're like, yes, we are. And they're complaining to others as well. What kind of patience is this? Once you've handed your matter over to Allah, now just relax. The court of Allah is that which is most just. At times your plea is answered instantly and at times it takes a while. There's justice in the court of Allah, there's no injustice. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
It is believed that if milk is overspilled or blood is burnt, it is a sign of any loss. Is it true?
Yes, the spilling of the milk is a loss. The chapati burnt, it is a loss. Or you want to say that there's further loss that one faces. So, in relation to this, if people take this as ill omen that we burn chapati, now something bad will happen to us. As in we'll face a loss in our business, etc. Then remember that there's no place for ill omen in Islam. Islam has condemned it severely. In fact, it is not permissible to develop an ill omen. On the other hand, you can develop a good omen, a positive omen, a noble omen. For example, right in the morning, you left your house and you met a pious person. And you think to yourself that, MashaAllah, today will be an amazing day. Now this good omen that you took is permissible. And if you meet an evil person, a person of ill character, and you think that, oh no, I've seen him, my day will be ruined now. This is not permissible. Islam doesn't allow ill omen. No scope for this.
Sometimes it happens a person gets lost in a business or he has a difficult time on a particular day and he utters such words that, I don't know whose face I saw this morning because of which I have faced these problems and losses. What if a person says to him, you had seen your own face this morning? Because normally in the morning, person sees his own face in the mirror, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. They hardly use miswak. They'll put paste on the toothbrush and start brushing their teeth and the mirror is right in front of them. Amazing it is.
Yes. I'm sure no one would say that I had seen my own face. That's why I had a bad day today.
Yeah, they say these kind of things, that the start of our business wasn't good today.
Yes.
Or the first customer today who came was a troublemaker. He was a nightmare to deal with. He bargained a lot. Or I had to sell him at a very low price, or he didn't buy it at all. Honestly, it was a nightmare today.
If we faced any losses or difficulty, why don't we think in a way that I missed my Salatul Fajr today? Maybe that's the reason I had a bad day. My day has not started well. Why don't we put blames on others, that maybe I saw someone's face, or someone warned me at that moment, or maybe a cat crossed my path? Instead of believing such superstitious beliefs, it's better to search main reason of curse, which could be sin of missing Salah. Even missing Jama'at can become cause of deprivation in one's risk.
Yes, very true. The moment in which a person commits a sin is a moment of misfortune for him.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
He who misses Salah deliberately, he doesn't offer Salah. These very moments in which he misses Salah are moments of misfortune for him. Someone is swearing, someone is lying, he's committing a sin. These moments of his are misfortune for him.
Isn't it a moment of reflection one should ponder? Why am I not getting ability to offer Salah? One should become worried. What is the reason why I am not being able to offer Salah? Because one offers Salah through the granted ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In such case, one should make tawbah. One should repent from his sins. One should pray in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, grant me the ability to offer Salah. Give me ability to do sujood before you. I was reading a book and I read that a person who was well off and he was granted so many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it was mentioned in book, that he was enjoying a luxurious life. He was granted many, many blessings from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once he said in the court of Allah, O Allah, despite the fact I disobey you, but why don't you punish me? He heard from unseen that, haven't you noticed that taste of pleading in our court has been snatched from you?
The pleasure of dua is removed.
Why a person does not think this way? There can be various forms of punishment. Isn't it a punishment that you have been taken away the taste of pleading in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're not getting the granted ability to offer salah. Is it a small punishment? You cannot stand before Allah.
You cannot make sajda before Allah. Just think about it.
Indeed it is. You know, the general perception of a person is that I'm gaining wealth, I've got so many degrees, I've got a very happy life, I've got a great family. So due to the downpour of worldly blessings, the person thinks that I'm immensely blessed. Whereas, according to a hadith, the downpour of worldly blessings can also be respite from Allah. And the person thinks otherwise. And when things are taken back from him, then he regrets. Like, a fisherman throws his fishing rod, and the fish, looking at it, got happy and eventually got caught in it. Now the fish tries to escape here and there due to the pain it suffers. But the fisherman says that, try as hard as you can. The moment I pull you back, you will eventually come to me. You can't escape. Same is our state. Every single one of us have also swallowed the rod of death. And in the meanwhile, we're running here, running there, doing this, doing that. We boast upon our wealth, we threaten people, we look down on them. All this does not matter. Do whatever you want to do. The rod of our life is in someone else's hands. The day it is pulled back, it will make us see the faces of our graves. What have you done? We'll be questioned then. What will happen then? That's why everyone should keep the reality of his wealth in view. And we should all fear Allah Almighty. Abundance of blessings, abundance of wealth, a great mind, great wisdom, great intellect, great success in everything that one does, all the prosperity and affluence one experiences should not surely be deemed as mercy of Allah by him. It's possible that it's respite from Allah. And you never know that where does respite lead a person to. Allah Almighty says in Surah An'am, verse number 32, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهْوٌ. وللدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Irfan. And the life of this world is merely play and amusement. And indeed the abode of the hereafter is better for those who fear. So do you not understand? So the way time passes in play and amusement, similarly it also passes in this world. You may ask me about my tales of childhood. I'm just saying, I remember many accounts of my childhood, not just one. It seems as if it was just yesterday. And today? Where am I? In the same way, everyone would remember some accounts of their childhood or of their youth. As in, how active I used to be. And today when I look at myself, I'm helpless. Today, I cannot run around. May Allah forbid, no matter how dangerous it is to my life. I can't run to save myself, to save my life. I cannot run like a young man to save my life. I can't. I'm helpless. So all of this is an admonition, a warning for us. All these changes that we experience in our body are taking us closer to our death. Even after all this, if a person still daydreams about regaining his health, youth or childhood, then he's falling prey to delusion and deception. A very big deception. There are a lot of elderly people who remain completely heedless. They still don't offer salah. Still they won't grow a beard. At least grow the sunnah now. It is wajib. Trimming it under a fistful length is haram. Keeping it less than a fistful is haram. Even a young person should fear, as it's observed many times that an elderly person stays ill and alive, while a young healthy person passes away and his body is taken to the graveyard. There's no surety for anyone as to when they will die. A young person has a hope, but an elderly person doesn't even have a hope. Anyhow, one should not keep any hope. There is no other option now. Now, there's death. But what can we do of negligence? It doesn't let us reform ourselves. It doesn't let us worship. It doesn't let us perform pious deeds. The love of the world does not leave us, even in the old age. In fact, the greed of amassing wealth and other provisions increases manifold in the old age. This also happens. He just wants to gain more wealth, although he cannot earn it, but he has the greed of acquiring more. Hal min mazid. Want more and more and more, to the extent that the person is lowered into his dark grave. Beware, O the living person, beware, O the one with glory. Beware, O the rich, beware, O the wealthy. Beware, O the one with authority. Beware, O the one on a high post. The hidden decree of Allah, meaning the hidden decision, the hidden plan of Allah. Beware, beware, beware of it. May it not be the case that through receiving physical blessings, or the blessings of wealth or authority, you increase the level of several sins such as oppression, arrogance, obstinacy, etc. And your fit and healthy appearance, your body, and all the wealth become a means of fuel of hell for you. In this relation, one hadith of the Prophet is presented along with a verse of Quran. Let's listen to it and tremble with the fear of Allah for His hidden decree. Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu narrates that it is the admonitory saying of the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that when you see that Allah is giving those things to a disbeliever in this world which he likes, then this is respite from Allah. Thereafter, the beloved and final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam recited verse number 44 of Surah An'am, Juz 7. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون.
Translation from Kanzul Irfan. So when they forgot the advice given to them, we opened upon them the doors of all good things until they became elated by that which was given to them, and we seized them suddenly. Thus, now they are in despair. The blessing of health and abundance of wealth often leads one into transgression, i.e. he indulges in sins because of it. Therefore, if there is an extremely elegant-looking person, or a wealthy person, or a person of authority, he is in need of fearing the hidden decree of Allah, the Almighty. As Sayyiduna Hasan Basri, Rahmatullahi Alayhi states, he who is given vastness in this world by Allah, through abundance of sustenance, the blessing of obedient children, wealth, health and good looks, or a rank of honor, or a rank of authority, or a rank of government, or any kind of rule or power. But he is not fearful of the fact lest all these blessings, luxuries and comforts may be the hidden decree of Allah. So such a person is heedless of the hidden decree of Allah. May Allah allow us to prepare for our afterlife. This can be done only in this world. We cannot prepare for the afterlife after death. All the commitments you may have, that's all a different, a separate matter. Whatever matter serves as an obstacle in the preparation of the afterlife, there's pity on it. May we succeed in taking time out for the religion of Allah Almighty and also to perform pious deeds. Allah Almighty states in verse number 20 of Surah Shura,
مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ.
Translation of Quran, Kanzul Irfan. Whoever seeks the harvest of the hereafter, we increase his harvest for him. And whosoever seeks the harvest of this world, we grant him a part of it. Just a part. But he has no share in the hereafter. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the one who turned all his worries into one worry, which is the worry of the afterlife, then Allah Almighty is sufficient for his worry of this world. And he whose worries remain engaged in the worries of this world, then Allah will not care about the fact that which valley is he being destroyed in.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد
مدني مذاكرة مدني مذاكرة مدني مذاكرة